all these kids can be dismissed out the back door. They will be sold in the slave market. Okay. There they go.
We split the cock.
Support missions. All right. Do you mind standing? And we'll stand out of respect. And if you can't stand, your knees don't work, you just stay seated. It's okay. Nobody will think a thing of it. Or if you ate too many sandwiches for supper, that's fine too, Pastor. You really didn't eat a lot, I didn't think. Now, when it came to dessert, I'm thinking that you really ate a lot of dessert.
I should eat some more.
It was good, though. It was good. It was very good. We had a nice time. Now, let's take our Bibles tonight, and I want us to turn to Exodus chapter 3, if you don't mind. Exodus chapter 3. Now, how many of you believe that it's going to work for you to come tomorrow? Is there anybody you don't think you can make it tomorrow? You have to work or something? Anybody like that? You have to work? Okay, good. If you have to work, you can quit your job. But no, we're really, really, I do see a consistency. I don't know how many we had last night, but we do have the majority of you back. And the thing I'm excited about is that that it appears God is working, and God's doing some good things during the day too. He really is doing some good things. And so just keep praying for God to accomplish whatever He wants in this meeting. We're here for this short time in your life. It's the marathon. It's not the meeting. You know what I mean by that? It's the marathon. Getting something you need to take you through this stage of your life. And that's God. That's God. The Lord is a lamp to my feet. When I was in high school, or actually college, I can remember a man getting up and saying what that lamp to the feet is. I believe him. I don't have any reason not to believe him. He said in Bible days they used to actually connect a lamp to the foot. And it would light it up just enough that they could see one step at a time so they didn't go off a cliff. And so God's given us a lamp, a little light in this meeting for right now. And some things we'll keep for our life, and some things we'll need right now. And so God's definitely behind this. And who preaches, when they preach, what they preach, and where they preach. I'm fully believing God's capable of doing all of that. So amen. My goal in life is to be where God wants me.
Amen.
When He wants me there. So we're very glad for this opportunity. All right, let's look at Exodus 3, beginning at verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight while the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Let's pray. Father, we do ask for your blessing tonight and tomorrow night, that you lead in both these services to give exactly what you're wanting when to whoever you're wanting it to be given. Pray, Lord, that I would be a tool in your hands as we're labors together with you. Without you, we can do nothing. We can do anything we need to do with you. And there's a need here tonight, and we ask you to meet that need. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. When we look at a man like Moses, we think about the man of God. In fact, many times in the Bible it says Moses, the man of God. Well, when I look at Moses, I think of a giant in the faith. And then I look at others and I see them as giants in the faith. Like, I love to read the stories out of Hebrews 11, which is the faith chapter. And you can read about the women and the men of faith. And in some way, I think, as I read these stories, I am never going to be a man like that. I want to be, but I'm never going to be a man like that. And you might look at some of these people and think, boy, I wish I was more like them. I wish I had faith like they have. I wish I was used by God like they're used. And we look at some of these people as way up here, and we're kind of here, and then there are some people way down there. They don't want anything to do with God. And maybe we look at ourselves to compare ourselves to others, and in fact, if we do, we do realize that there are some people that seem to be closer to God than some of the others. Now, when I look at this, though, I am wishing that I was more like Moses, and I am challenged by his faith. But one day, I was looking through this passage, and I got something that encouraged me a little bit. I noticed that God did not introduce himself to Moses like I thought he would. He says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. But at this point, why didn't God say, and I am your God? Now, you and I think of God and Moses as being tight or being very close to each other. Moses is the man of God. But the reason that God did not introduce himself as the God of Moses is because though Moses was probably a believer in God, Jehovah, because his mother was his nurse, that God arranged that she would teach him the way God would have him to live, he knew there's a God. He probably was a believer in God. And from the human perspective, we might say terminology, he would be saved. I don't know for sure if that terminology was used back then. But he was as close to God as the average Jew, is what I'm saying, or Hebrew. But from God's perspective, he and Moses had not yet gotten connected. And then in this passage, this is where Moses and his relationship with God came to a next level. Everybody follow me? And then Moses became the man of God, where God then would say that he was the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the God of Moses. But here, he is not. Now, what I want to speak to us about is we look at certain people as being great men of God, and they are great men of God, great women of God, and they are great women of God. But people were not always what they later became. For instance, like you've got Paul was formerly called Saul, right? And he used to be a persecutor, but then became the greatest missionary we've ever heard of. And then there was Mary Magdalene, who used to be a harlot, and she then became a great Christian. And then there was Matthew, who used to be the tax collector and the thief. And so the Bible is full of stories that have people that later became great men of God. And so what I'm saying is, there are things that I've learned from this passage and others that I'm going to share with you. If you understand what I'm saying, I'm not saying I've arrived, but I feel like they took me from this level spiritually to this level spiritually, where I got a little bit closer to God than I was in the past. And they helped me, and so I'm believing that these truths may help us all. All right, now the first thing that I want to draw our attention to is the perspective of God. Now, most of us in the room, we would think of God being our God, especially if we've accepted Him as our personal Savior. But my question is, does God believe that He is our God? Now, when I say this, He knows if we are His children. But He also knows there are people that have great faith in Him, and there are people that have not got so great faith. And from God's perspective, would He say that you and He are close? Or are you just somebody who's saved, but not yet grown and matured? And you can be somebody who matures and grows. That's why the Bible says, some get meat, some get milk. That's why the Bible says, grow in stature. And that's why the Bible says that we all come to the fullness of the image of Christ in the book of Ephesians. So we can be people that know Him and actually are saved, but need to grow and become men of God and women of God. And from God's perspective, would God say that He is your God? And I get that from, I am the God of thy father Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. But He doesn't say, I'm the God of Moses. And as I looked at this, I realized, at this point, Moses knew God, but they were not tight. But then later, they became tight. And as I began to think it through, I came to this thought that helped me. Every person has to make a decision that they want a deeper relationship with God than they presently have if they're ever going to grow.
Right.
Every person has to make a decision that they want a deeper relationship with God than they presently have if they're ever going to grow. And I'm going to show you this, that every person has to make a decision to make God their God. Now, if you will look in your Bibles at these who God said that He was their God, and I just want you to see how they had to make a decision to make God their God before it ever really took off. All right, first turn to Genesis chapter 12, and in Genesis chapter 12 we find Abraham. Now, Genesis 12 verse 1, it says, "The Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee. Curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. So Abram decided to do what God wanted him to do, and in essence, he was making God his God. But what I want you to see is how God introduced Himself in verse 1. The Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. Now, did He say, I am the God of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, as He often would say? No. He just appeared and said, I want to be your God, Abram. And this, so Abram probably knew about God, there was a relationship that began to be tight. That was close. That was deeper than just knowing there was a God up there. And this is where Abraham and God, I believe, got connected on a deeper level. And Abraham made God his God. Now turn in your Bibles to Genesis 26. And Abraham, a son, his son's name was Isaac. And I want you to notice that God didn't just want a relationship with Abraham. He wanted a relationship with Abraham's son. For instance, God doesn't just want a relationship with a youth pastor. He wants a relationship with a youth pastor's son. Amen?
Amen.
And this is what we need to understand. But I want you to notice how God appears to Isaac in verse 24. The Lord appeared unto him, Isaac, that same night and said, I am the God of who?
Abraham
thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he built there an altar and called upon the name of the Lord. And basically, he's calling on the Lord to become his God, not just his dad's God. But the way God appeared unto him, he said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. But question, did he say, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? No, just Abraham. Why? Because though Isaac was already an adult, and Isaac already knew everything about God, Isaac was already one that was laid down and was offered on the altar, but of course God intervened and he didn't die on that altar, and a lamb was provided. So Isaac actually saw God do something and knew the existence of God was real. You know what I'm saying? But still, God appears and he says, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Why? Because Isaac had not yet taken a step. I believe God can be my God, not just my dad's God. And there are too many people that never get to that next level because they think that they're some second-class person that God's not as interested in as the giant in the faith. And I do know that Abraham was a giant in the faith. But God had great things for Isaac too. But Isaac just never thought that he could have the relationship that his dad had. And God said, I want to bless you just like I blessed your dad. Do you follow me? And then Isaac took the step. Okay. And he builded there an altar and called upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And Isaac made God his God. All right, now then Isaac had a son. His name was Jacob. All right, turning your Bibles over to chapter 28. And the main thing I want you to see is the heart of God, that he wants to be each person's God, one as much as the others, and also that he knows who has turned to him by that measure of faith, that they really accept that God is their God and who has not. And so notice how God introduced himself in verse 13, I believe. All right, Genesis 28, verse 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said unto Jacob, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, get this, and the God of Isaac. So now, I'm the God not only of Abraham, but I'm also the God of Isaac, but he doesn't say yet I'm the God of Jacob. And then he goes on, and he says, I will bless you as well. And notice verse 20. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me, and will keep me in the way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be, what's that next word?
My God.
My. Not just my dad's.
Yep.
Not just Abraham's, my grandfather's, but mine. And so here's what really moved me. God knows who knows him for salvation, but hasn't matured to know him as God.
Yeah.
Now, we know he's God, but I'm talking about in an Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob way, close way, where we experience God, not just know about God. And there's a difference. And what I'm saying is, we go from this level to a deeper relationship with God, and then we see divine supernatural intervention in our life like others have seen in their lives. And so this is what we need. Now, from God's perspective, would God say, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the God of Mike Bellatier. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of Brother Jim, and the God of Nancy, and the God of, put your name in there. And what God is wanting to do is be our God as much as he's wanting to be the God of Abraham. That's what I'm trying to say.
Good.
Now, first, we can see this. As every person has to make that decision to take a step further. And I love that word, my. And just so that you can be encouraged by it, take your Bibles and turn to Psalms chapter 18. And Psalms chapter 18, there's a little word that's in there 9 times. And I love it. And I circled it because there was a time that I needed it. It's the word, my. Now, as David is talking about God, he says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Now, there was a time when I was going through some things where I needed divine intervention from God. And I happen to have a father-in-law who is the real thing. He walks with God. He doesn't pretend to walk with God. He doesn't think of himself as a great person. In fact, when he started at Master Baptist College, he said, you will not put my picture up on any wall. And in the living room, or in the main room when you walk in, he put up this, Sir, we would see Jesus. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with putting a picture of a preacher up. I've got a preacher that has definitely been a blessing to me. I carry his picture with me on my cell phone.
Amen.
And so I do think it's okay. But I'm not saying he's a... I'm saying that for this purpose. He is not a proud man.
Yeah.
But he is a great man. And so I greatly admire him. And I've seen him pray and God answers prayers. I've seen him pray over $2 million in, to be honest with you, for the Bible college. That's pretty significant.
Yeah.
Now, I know that he is a man of prayer. And then I think, then there's me. And as I was heading off a ministry that was bigger than I'd ever done, we had several area-wide meetings. As I told you about my financial situation, I needed $50,148. It's nothing compared to $2 million, but it's a lot for a kid like me. And so what I was thinking is, man, I'm not George Mueller. And what I was thinking is, I wish my father-in-law would just step up and take leadership of this thing. And I asked him to lead it, but he wouldn't do it. He didn't feel that was God's call. And so I tried to get another evangelist named Tom Farrell. And he said, brother, I like what you're doing, but it's not my calling. And I tried to get another guy named Ken Hay. And he says, I like what you're doing, I'll be on your board, but it's not my calling. And after I'm going around saying, who am I going to get to lead this thing? All of my board members said, well, it seems to me like it's your vision, you're supposed to lead it. I said, I'm just Mike. And I was kind of crippled by my insecurities. But then, this passage of Scripture brought me out of that to where I could do what God enabled me to do. It's actually technically God does what is done. But when I realized that God was not just Ron Comfort's God, He was my God. Not Tom Farrell's God, He's my God. Not just George Mueller's God, He's my God. And anything that He would do for anyone else, He's capable and able to do for me. Yep. Now, here's what you need as a housewife. Here's what you need as a single woman. You've never preached a sermon, but you're a child of God. Here's what you need as a teenager, as a child, and you're looking up to people that are great men of God. Here's what you need if you feel like a second-class Christian. The word my. And so what I did was I circled all the my's because I needed them. It says, I will love your Lord, my strength. And I actually thought this. Not just Ron Comfort's strength. And the Lord is my. It goes on to say, deliverer. Not just George Mueller's deliverer. And my. And I love that word. I just love it. I have a preacher friend of mine in Pennsylvania. And when I pray with him, I love hearing him pray. Because he says this. He goes, and my Heavenly Father, we need you to take care of the young people's ministry. And then he says, and my Heavenly Father, we need you to take care of this. And then he prays, and my Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. And I love the way he uses that personal word, my. Now, good. Isn't my a good word?
Yeah, it sure is.
When I was a kid, I can remember how I liked the word my. My toy. And then when I got older, I liked the word my bike. And then, as I got older, I liked the word my girlfriend. And then when I got older, I liked the word my wife. And then I liked the word my money. Just thought I'd throw that in. Didn't work. Thought I'd try to get a laugh. And then my, but in the right sense, I love this word, my God.
Amen.
Not just God is there, but my God. And this is what God wants to do. He wants each one of us to have a personal relationship with Him. And the perspective of God, He wants to be your God as much as He wants to be Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's. And so God appears to Moses and He says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, but not you yet. But did God and Moses get connected? Absolutely. Now, who's in this room that you feel like you're here? You don't feel like you have any possibility of becoming a giant in the faith. You don't feel like you have any possibility of ever being connected to God in a deeper way than you presently are. That's not true. God is not a respecter of persons. Now, the second thing I want to look at here is the power of God. All right, now, Moses, of course, sees this burning bush, and that got his attention when he saw this power. But then he was still insecure a little bit, and so he didn't really believe that God would use him. So then God had to demonstrate His power again. So how did God do it with Moses? Just to shore him up. He said, drop that stick on the ground.
Yeah.
And it turned into a what? and he picked it up by the tail and it turned back into a staff. And you know what that was doing? That was telling Moses, you really want to follow me? I really am powerful enough to do some things. And then he still was a little insecure. So Moses, stick your hand inside your coat. He did. He pulled it back and it's leprosy. And Moses is afraid. So God said, Moses, put it back in. He pulls it out and it's the skin of a baby. And when he was seeing God do these things, then he realized, God does want to be my God. And God is so powerful, I would never want to walk away from Him. Now, a lot of times we get impressed with things that aren't so impressive. Now, there aren't any teenagers in here, but they get very impressed with PlayStation 4. You know what PlayStation 4 is? Imagination. It's not real. And a gun that can kill an alien, which is also not real. A force field which can protect you from all the aliens, which is also not real. And they get so impressed with the powers that are here when somebody goes like this in a video game. And it's not even real. But the power of God is real.
Amen.
And that should impress us. Now look at all the things about God in Psalms chapter 18 and see why we need to get from this level and not be content with just being a person who's going to heaven. We need to get to this level where we're close to God and experience Him. Not that we're better than anybody, but that we experience God like He meant us to. All right, Psalms 18 and verse 1. The psalmist said, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. Now, question. How many of you could use a little strength once in a while? And then it says, the Lord is my rock. And the rock is speaking about stability. When everything else is falling apart, I got a rock I can stand on. Standing on the promises of Christ my King. And then, my fortress, that's a wall of protection. Now, you might have somebody trying to harm you. It could be in the military. It could be at work. It could be somebody just with a vicious tongue. But a wall of protection around you. Now, can God divinely intervene and do protection? Absolutely. Now, I know that God can do that. I was on, and it's very exciting, I was on a mission trip, for instance, to Haiti. And when we were there, it was after the earthquake. The Lord laid in my heart to go to those churches that I said I cared about and really show I cared about when they had their greatest time of need after the earthquake. They'd lost their homes. They lost many people. And my wife and I discussed and said, you need to go, my wife said. I said, I don't have anything to give them. Well, you need to get something to give them and you need to go. And you need to be there when they need you most. So we made a few phone calls, and here it is, just Mike. God divinely intervened, and we came up with $25,000 in about 4 or 5 days. And we were able to buy 300 tents. We were able to organize planes to fly them in to get 6 men to go with me. And we went to Haiti, and we brought them tents. And we specifically meant to bring them to the believers because we first take care of the believers. That's part of the family of God. So as we go in to help the people that we had already met, already tried to minister in their churches and already been there, we were going to hand out tents that night, and we saw the Marines handing out tents. And so we go to the Marines and we say, hey, we're going to be handing out tents tonight. The man who was standing there with an AK-47 says, what did you say? And one of my men said, we're handing out tents tonight to the refugees, people that lost their homes. And the man said, what? You're doing it at night? You're crazy. We're the Marines, and we won't hand out tents at night. And we've got weapons. You're going to get killed. And sure enough, we found that people were killing people for tents. That was happening. And so my men came to me, and they said, what do we do? And I said, well, we've already announced we're going to hand them out. If we don't hand them out, we're going to have a riot. And if we do hand them out, we're going to have a riot. So I said, I don't know what to do. I said, let's just pray. So we got on our knees, and we prayed, and we said, Lord, we don't know what to do. Tell us what to do. And honestly, while we're praying, the thought comes to my mind, do you think God's capable of putting thoughts in your mind and give answers? The thought came to my mind to pray for two things as we continue in that prayer meeting. One, to pray that the old man in the village, who they always respect, the oldest man in the village, the old man in the village who was at the meeting the night before would get up at the end and tell everybody, no, we cannot do tents tonight. It's too dangerous. You need to go home. And we'll do it tomorrow when it's light. And they would listen to the old man. They wouldn't like an American saying, we're not going to give them to you. And then two, that God would make it rain. Because Haitians hate rains because the mud slides. And so they would run and disperse. And so, you know, I had no time to talk to that man. And I can't even speak his language. And I got done preaching. When I was done, I sat down. And as soon as I was done, this old man gets up and he goes like this. And he gets everybody's attention. And I look at him and he says something. And I said, what's he saying? And somebody interpreted, he's telling them it's too dangerous to do it at night. Go home and come back in the morning. And as soon as he said that, it sure enough began to rain. And it wasn't even supposed to rain. And everybody went to their different little shacks that they had made up as temporary shelters. And I'm telling you, God is able to be our fortress.
Amen.
Now, if you can see, and if I can see, and we don't need to go long on this, but look at all the great things that we can experience with God. My strength, my fortress, my deliverer. Is there anything you need deliverance from? God's able to do that. And I can give you stories about God's deliverance. My strength. Now, when I was a boy, my dad put a 12-gauge shotgun in his mouth and took his life. I didn't tell you that yet, but when I was a boy, my dad put a 12-gauge shotgun in his mouth, pulled the trigger, and blew up the back of his head. Now, you could say, well, aren't you bitter at God? Why would you want to follow anybody who would do something like that to you? My mother taught me, this is not the time to get bitter at God, Mike. This is the time that we need God.
Amen.
And we went through tough times, but God was our strength. I went to my pastor, and my pastor said, as I was a six-year-old boy, Mike, God loves all little kids, but there's a special place for you in His heart, because you don't have a dad. He's the father to the fatherless. He's the protector of the widow.
Right.
And you know what that means? You women that are single women, you may never thought of this. You, as a single woman, have a special place in God's heart. Not that you married women don't. But God says He looks out for that single woman.
Amen.
And you're thinking, well, I'm not Moses. Well, I'm not... Well, God says He has a special interest in you.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Now, He says, I will be your strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, that's a shield of protection, the horn of my salvation, and salvation from whatever you need salvation from. And obviously an application is salvation from an enemy, but an obvious application is salvation from sin. And He will be my Savior from sin. And He says, my high tower, taking you up. And if you look at all of these things, God can be these things for you, not just read stories about other people experiencing God. I can remember, and just seeing the power of God. I've given you stories about how God's provided in different ways. I could give you more. I'll just mention this one, then we'll move on. I can remember when I was preaching at a teen camp, and I had 200 teenagers there, and those 200 teenagers were listening intently, and at the invitation, there were 12 that wanted to be saved. But all of a sudden, it rained so much that you couldn't even hear me over the rain. You ever been in one of those downpours that's so loud, especially when the building has a tin roof? So nobody could hear anything. And again, I want you to know, I am not being humble with a false humility. I'm being as sincere as I can possibly be, and God is my witness when I say this. This event that I'm about to tell you about has nothing to do with Mike. I am just Mike. But it is everything to do with God still is everything that He always was. So I'm preaching, and 12 young people want to get saved. And then it rains so loudly they can't even hear me over the microphone. And so I'm thinking, 12 young people want to get saved, and they can't even hear me over the microphone, and plus where we counsel them, they have to go about 100 yards away into the dining common, where they sit down at a table and the counselors counsel with them, and nobody's going to want to walk through that rain even if they could hear me. So, in the emotion of the moment, 12 young people wanted to get saved, they couldn't hear me. I don't know what happened or why I did it, but I raised my hand in the air and I said, God, there are 12 young men that want to get saved and they can't even hear me because of the rain. And I said, God, stop the rain! And I did that in front of 200 teenagers. My wife was there, my kids were there, Greg Murray was there, Heather Murray was there. And then I said, stop the rain! And I thought, what have you done? You just put God on the spot in front of 200 people, plus many other adults. And I thought, now they're not even going to believe in God. What have you done? And then I thought for another moment, wait a minute. Is this a want or is this a need? It is a need. And then I thought, can God stop the rain? And what's the obvious answer?
Yes.
And I said this in my mind, in all this short time, things go through your mind. I said, this isn't a want, this is a need. It is a need. And do these 12 young people need to get saved while the Lord's working on them? Absolutely. And I said, does the rain need to stop? Yes, it does. So the second time I raised my hand, and I said, God, stop the rain. And the second time I said that, with less than 5 seconds, it came to complete stop, not even a drop. 12 young men got up, and they walked out the back, and they got saved. I went back a few years later, and when I went back, a young man came up to me right away. He says, Brother Pelletier. He said, do you remember me? And I said, you look familiar. And he did. But then he said, do you remember when you prayed that God would stop the rain? And God stopped the rain? I said, how can I forget? And he said, I was one of those 12 young men that got saved that night. And he said, do you know why I got saved? He said, when I saw God stop the rain, I knew there was something to God. Now follow me. I am honestly just Mike. But you know what I've learned? God is the God of George Mueller, Ron Comfort, and Mike Pelletier. And He wants to equally be the God of every one of us in this room. He's got us in different places, but he wants to show Himself powerful on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. So go ahead and have faith that God wants to be your God as much as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's God. All right, so first we've seen the perspective of God. Number two, the power of God. And I need to keep moving. I want to look to the path to God. All right, now, here's what I'm going to tell you that I think is helping me. And if it's helping me, I believe it will help us all. All right, how do we make God my God? Not just somebody else's God. How do we make that next level where we grow and begin to grow into a deeper relationship with God than perhaps we presently experience? All right, here's what helped me. In Psalms 18, you find these two words three times. They're the words, I will, I will. I underlined them in Psalms 18, verse 1, and then they're in verse 2, I underlined them, and then verse 3, I underlined them. And these three things that we choose to do, that's why it says, I will. I'm going to do this. If we choose to do this, then we make God my God, in a deeper sense, is what I'm saying. All right, now the first one, in Psalm 18, 1, I will what? Love thee. I will love thee. I just will. Now, you're going off, and you're going to be surrounded by a lot of people that don't even believe in God. You're just going to have to determine if everybody else here is a God rejecter, and if nobody loves God, I still will. I just will.
Good.
If everybody mocks me, I don't care. I'll hold my head high and say, yeah, I really do. I love God and I believe in Him. I just will. And when everybody else in the world seems to be going crazy over not so impressive things, I mean, there's nothing wrong with enjoying a nice car. But you know what a car does? It gets you from point A to point B, whether it's a Lincoln Town Car or a Chevrolet. And you know what clothes do? It's nice to have nicer clothes, but really the reality is they just kind of cover you up so you're not so ugly. Okay? But you know what an expensive suit does? Covers you up. You know what an inexpensive suit does? Covers you up. And I like to have something a little bit nicer, but if I don't, I'm not going to be too mad at God. I'm not going to be mad at all. I just will love Him. Others may not love Him. They might love dumb things. But the center of my affection is not going to be on dumb things. I'll enjoy them because God gives us good things to enjoy. But my affection is God. Set your affection on things above. And that's a decision. I will love God. And then everything that comes along with that, everything that comes along with it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Just because you love me. If you love me, love the brethren. If you love me, feed my sheep. Serve me. Peter, lovest thou me? Yea, Lord, thou knowest they love me. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. So whatever is involved in genuinely loving God, I'm going to do it. I just will. And that's how I take a step to make God my God. All right, step number two. Number two is in verse two. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength. And this is a big one and a hard one. In whom I will what?
Trust.
I will trust. I'm just going to trust. I'm not going to get bitter at something that's happened. I'm just going to trust God to work it out for my good. Because that's what He said He'd do. I'm not going to fall apart when I don't think I can do something. I'm going to just trust Him. I just will. I don't know why this is happening, but I'm not going to fall apart. I'm just going to trust God. I will trust. And I think it's a very important thing, just determine, I'm going to trust. And that's where Joshua could get to the point, which literally happened, though it only happened once, it did happen. And the fact that it only happened once makes it even that much more difficult to trust God in this. But that's how Joshua could get to the point where he said, okay, you mean walk around the walls seven times and blow trumpets and the walls are going to fall? Okay. I'm just going to trust you. If you say it, I'll trust you. And you know what that means? You and I are going to have to trust God. All right. If you say you'll hear my prayer, then you'll hear my prayer. Okay. You say you love me, then okay. Then you love me. I'm going to trust you for what you say. And God, you say that you will enable me, then I'm going to trust you that you're going to enable me. You say you give me wisdom. All right, I won't have to make the wrong decision. I'm just going to trust you that you're going to keep me from making the wrong decision. And that's how we go from here to here. Okay, I will love thee. Number two, I will trust. And then the third thing is in verse three, I will what? Call. And that's where you pray. And the first thing you do, whenever circumstance comes up, you always lift it up to God. And I think that that also involves not only the short prayer, but the sweet hours of prayer where we become people that regularly call out to God. And that's how we make God our God. Now, I hope that some of this has helped. And I believe that though this is not a hellfire brimstone, this is a message that could change your life. And if you were able to look at my old Bible, which I love, I no longer have, because I gave it to a gentleman and after I copied the notes to another Bible, so I still have the notes in another Bible, but in my new Bible, I have already done this. And if it helps you, great. If it doesn't, you don't have to. But you'll see in my Bible, in Psalms 18, I circle all the minds. Okay? I circle all the minds. Because the day's going to come when you're going to need it.
That's right.
Mind, God, not just pastors. My God,
right.
Not just mom's. My God, not just some great prayer warrior that I knew 100 years ago or 50 years ago when I was a little girl. I can be a great prayer warrior as a woman today. And then I also, in my Bible, you see, I underline in verse 1, I will. In verse 2, I will. And in verse 3, I will. And I think that would be a good thing to take to Korea with you. And I think it'd be a good thing to take to Great Falls with you.
Amen.
And wherever we are, God being my God. And then, as I talked about in the very beginning of the meeting, what is revival? It's when a man's relationship or a woman's relationship with God comes to full life. Everybody understand? And we turn to God, God turns to us. But what would be a better thing to make our relationship come to a full life than what we've seen in Psalms 18? I will love Him. I will trust. Those are tangible steps you can take to grow in your relationship with God. And in closing, just to show you that you can be more than what you presently are if you feel you're not what you should be, turn in closing over here to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. The greatest missionary that ever lived has, that title has often been given to the Apostle Paul, and probably rightly so. But as Paul is talking about this, his life, and he's trying to mentor Timothy to become also a great man of God, a great leader of the church, and he also became that. Notice what Paul said in verse 12. First, he says that it's God that enabled me. Christ enabled me. I didn't do this in my own ability. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me. Who hath enabled me. Now, I'm thinking, Ron Comfort, God really enabled him. Tom Farrell, God's really enabled him. George Mueller, God really enabled him. And then I think, but I'm just the kid who grew up in a cornfield area in Illinois. I'm the guy who's a little dorky. Or whatever you might think. But then, I also am enabled by God.
Amen.
To do whatever I need to do. I'm not enabled to do what Ron Comfort's. He's not enabled to do what I'm enabled to do. And if you are called to be a mom, if you're called to be a single woman who's a woman of God, if you're called to be a dad, you're enabled by God to do what you're supposed to do. And then, this adding, verse 13, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of the Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And here's what he's saying. I was not always what I am now, Timothy, but by God's grace, I have grown into this and I love it. And this is what we need to do. Step into what we can be in Christ by I will love Him. I will trust Him. I just will. And I will call on Him. Let's bow our heads. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, as the pianist comes to softly play, I wonder, first of all, is there anybody who would say, Brother Mike, I know what you're trying to say, and I needed it. I realize I'm a believer, but I need to step up in my relationship with God and make Him my God as much as He's the God of pastor, as much as He's the God of some giant in the faith that I admire. I really want to step into this relationship where God is my God. My God. Not just somebody else's God and my Savior, but my God. Now, if you understand that and you feel like that you're going to try to take those three I wills, I will love Him. Others may not, but I will. I will trust Him. I will not fall apart, and I will call. If you want to step up in that three-dimensional way, would you slip up the hand if you needed that, and you're going to try to act upon that. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. That'll build you. That'll build you. Amen. Amen. Now, is there anybody here would say, Brother Mike, there's a certain attribute of God that I need tonight that I'm going to go ahead and trust in? Maybe you need strength, and you're just going to call on the Lord for it. You need deliverance, and you're going to call on Him for deliverance in that issue that you're in need. And you're going to trust Him to deliver. If you have a certain area that you need to draw on that attribute of God, whether it be strength, deliverance, fortress of protection, and you're just going to go ahead and trust Him to be that and ask Him to be it, would you slip up the hand if you need to go ahead and call on one of the attributes of God? Amen. 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 And the good thing is, you can, because He is all those things. Let's all stand to our feet. Unless you just want to stay where you're at, you don't need to stand. But Greg's going to sing a verse or two and give you an opportunity to come forward and pray about making God your God. I will love Him. I will trust. I will call and take these things to the Lord. Hope this has helped, and you pray, you just continue to pray. If you're praying where you're seated, you pray like you want, as long as you want. And Pastor, you close as you see fit.
Thank you for tonight. Again, it amazes me how personal you are to us and how you want to be so close to us.
That's right.
Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would just cling upon you, trust in you, call upon you, believe in you, for we know that you are the giver of all good gifts. You are the God of salvation. You're the God of heaven, and Lord God, we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that teaches us and shows us, Lord, that we can trust in you. Thank you for these illustrations of the Word of God and personal illustrations that remind us that you are who you say you are. And dear God, I pray you bless now. May this time be a good time. Lord, bring us back tomorrow night and invite the folks to come, Lord, and Lord, speak to our hearts now in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, you're dismissed.